Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Morning. Welcome to church. Why don't you stand, greet somebody to your right and left, say, hey, it's so nice to see you. You look lovely. Thanks for joining us on this super cold Sunday. We're going to sing some songs together.
Christ the righteous, I'm justified.
This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah. So God, this morning in this place, would you just come and rest upon your people? God, whatever we brought in this room, would we leave it at your feet this morning? And would your Spirit fill this place? Because Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand when everything around me is shaking. Not held by my you're like me this morning and you have a hard time trusting in God's character and his faithfulness, and singing these words somehow grates against the very flesh inside of you, just give it up this morning to him. We are not in control. He is in control, and his goodness has never been defined by our thoughts about goodness, by what we want, by what we think is right. So when we sing and we declare that he is faithful, he is good, he does not fail, that is because that is the very essence of God. It is his character. And it's okay if you have a hard time believing that this morning. I know a lot of people want you to think it's not okay. It's okay. He can take it. He's a big God. But before we go a single step further in this worship time, just give it up to him. If you're like me and you're not sure, give it up this morning to him. And if you already know in the faithfulness of God, if you rest in that every day, then lean into that right now in this place. Because worship, it's not about doing it because we have to or because it's what society tells us to do as a church. It is because it is an outpouring of our heart, of who God is inside of us, of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. It is a work of him. And the very breath in our lungs this morning is because of Jesus. And that is what this is. So God, if we don't know in your character, if we have doubts, God, if we're not sure this morning, would you just come and invade the darkest parts of our heart? God, if we're waiting on breakthrough and it's not here, would you give us patience, God? God, and if we have joy this morning in the Spirit, would you multiply that tenfold? This is a place, God, for you, and we honor you this morning as we sing. Because all things have passed away, but your love has stood the same, and your constant grace remains the cornerstone. That we thought were dead are breathing in life again, and you cause your sun to shine on darkest night. For all that you've done, we will pour out.
And you make us strong instead.
took these rags and made them beautiful. For all that you've done, we will pour out our love. This will be our anthem song. Jesus, we be holy for you this morning. God, may you be pleased with our hearts. God, would you invade the places that we don't want you to invade? God, and would you bring breakthrough this morning? God, would you break callousness? Would you break doubt and fear? God, that we would be so consumed right now with your presence in this place that nothing else would invade. God, that this place, much like Moses in the burning bush, is holy. That we are in the presence of an almighty King. And we learn, God, right now to sit at your feet.
Hello.
Good morning, Replicate Church. My name is Brianna. I serve in the kids ministry, and I'll be reading Nehemiah 4, 15 through 23. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of our servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held the weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great, widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I, nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes, and we kept his weapon at his right hand. Now the kids may be dismissed.
Well, good morning again, Replicate. My name is Jared. I'm the pastor here. We're glad you came to worship with us this morning. If you're a guest, then we're excited you're here. And if you are a guest, I want to encourage you to fill out that Connect card in that lovely bulletin you should have received this morning. We'd be honored to be able to connect with you and your family. And just because you fill that out doesn't mean we're going to show up at your door, hound you with emails and phone calls, unless that's what you want. But we do want the opportunity to connect with you and be able to minister to you and your family. So I encourage you to do that. If you are a member or a regular attender, you can also use that to get more information about things going on in the church, submit prayer requests, those kind of things. So you can utilize those as well. And if you fill one out, you can drop it off in our offering box over here, and those will make their way to me eventually this week. So I just encourage you to do that. A couple of things before we get started this morning. I want to thank the Sablons for hosting Man Church yesterday. That was a great event. We got to hear some great testimony of how God can redeem just any life. You know, there's no life that God cannot redeem. And so I think there's always power in that. There's power in fellowshipping with other men. So we appreciate that opportunity yesterday. And I want to tell you about we got a lot of things to sign up for today. You're going to hear some from Gordon after our gathering this morning. If you want to be a part of Celebrate Recovery, we have a Celebrate Recovery table back here. I encourage you to stop by and see Chris before you leave this morning. Also, at that same table, if you are a man, our annual men's retreat is coming up. The theme this year is focus. We're trying to help men stay focused on what God has called them to do. I encourage you to sign up for that as well. And then if you want to pre-order a new Replicate Church t-shirt, that sign-up is at our Next Steps table over here. And there's going to be some other things after our gathering as well for you to get plugged into as far as serving and small groups and those things. But a lot going on, so make sure you check out all those tables before you leave. Make sure you're following us on social media. You got the app and all those things. You can stay up to date. We try to get information out in every form fashionable because some of you guys will text, but you never check your email. Some of you check your email, you never respond to a text. Most of you never read a bulletin. I don't know why we print them sometimes, but you know, my wife is still going to make me a shirt that says it's in the bulletin, been there for weeks, right? All right, because I know today, or like when that men's retreat rolls around, I'm going to hear guys say, "I never knew about it," and it's been there for weeks. So it's how that's going to work. So make sure you're looking at all those forms so you or those avenues so you stay informed about what's going on in the church, as we're going to do the best we can to make sure that you stay up to date on what's going on. So with that, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, then we're going to dive into God's Word. So y'all pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I echo what Brianna said this morning. God, I ask that you would indeed invade our hearts this morning, that you would just be intrusive and that you would just remove any distractions, any hardness of heart or mind that we may have preventing you, God, from invading our hearts and our mind this morning, God. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in that manner, God. And I pray for those in this room that don't yet know your son Jesus as Savior, Father God, that they would just know your overwhelming love for them this morning, that they would hear the gospel message and know that it is true. God, there is a God in heaven that loves them and cares for them, that sent his son to die for them so they could have restoration, so they could have a relationship with him, Father God. So we pray for salvation for those this morning, and for those of us that already know your son Jesus, that we would just be challenged in our faith, that we would be pushed to take those next steps to mature and grow and reach the nations with your gospel, Father God. And we just pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you haven't already, I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible to Nehemiah chapter 4. Again, that's Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 23. And so if you're new this morning, we're in week 6 of our series called For the City, as we've just been going through this Old Testament book of the Bible, Nehemiah, where it examines the thing that God had called Nehemiah to do. See, and as we've unpacked it so far, Nehemiah was a man who God broke his heart. God burdened his heart for a city and a people, the city of Jerusalem and its people. He opened Nehemiah's eyes to a city that was broken, that was desolate, as well as a people that were walking in desolation and brokenness. And he burdened Nehemiah's heart so much that Nehemiah's response was just to start crying out to God through prayer and fasting, saying, God, this city, your city, God, and your people are in such bad shape. God, why don't you do something? And so God hears Nehemiah's cry, and God's response to Nehemiah, his response to bring restoration to that city and that people, was to send Nehemiah. And he says, Nehemiah, you're going to go. You're not only going to restore the physical part of the city, but you're going to bring a spiritual restoration to my people. And so our prayer for this series has been that collectively God would begin to break our hearts for those that are outside the walls of this building. That he would break our hearts, he would burden our hearts for the people of our city and our communities, that our eyes would be open to the brokenness and lostness that surrounds us. That God would burden our hearts so much that not only would we cry out and say, God, you have to do something, but we would cry out and say, God, what is it that you want to do through me? God, use me to attack the lostness and the brokenness in the world around me. Because there's a world outside of these walls that is in need not only of a physical restoration, but ultimately a spiritual restoration. They need reconciliation between them and God. And the only thing that can do that is the gospel that we preach in here every Sunday, right? And the ones that are called to go take that gospel out are the ones that are sitting in here that claim they already know that and have accepted Christ as Savior. So if we don't go, no one will. All right, so that's been the prayer of this city is that God would burden our hearts, that it wouldn't be me guilting you, it'd be the Holy Spirit saying, you need to go. I'm calling you to go. You need to answer the call, and you need to go share the gospel and bring restoration to this city and the community that are around us. That you would willingly go and say, God, how can I use my skills, my time, my resources to do this work of disciple making that you have called your bride, the church, to go and do in this world. And so that's just extra this morning. We're not even in the text yet, all right? But as we continue through this series, as we continue through the text, that's what I want to be in the back of our minds is, okay, how is God moving me in that direction? How is what we're talking about relating to me going out and moving in a people and sharing the gospel so they have that spiritual restoration, that reconciliation between them and God. So let's look in our text, verse 15 this morning. Now, if you are a guest with us this morning, this is where we're at in our text. So far, you know, Nehemiah is being called out by God. He's been called to lead a project in Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the gates of the city. Because in those days, a city's and a people's identity was tied up in the walls that surrounded the city. That's where their protection came from. There was just a lot tied up in that. And so the plan God had was that he would send Nehemiah to gather the people, and they would do this big reconstruction project, restoring Israel or Jerusalem physically, while also bringing a spiritual restoration to the people of God. And so last week, we talked about that the people and Nehemiah were at the halfway point of that project. And now they're at the halfway point. They're experiencing some issues. Now they have not just people that were making fun of them and trying to discourage them, but now they have a group of people that are physically trying to harm them so that the work on this wall does not continue, so that Jerusalem is not restored. And then on top of that kind of external pressure, the people are starting to deal with some internal struggles. They've got to this halfway point, and they're looking at the enormity of the work that lies ahead, and they're starting to battle some feelings of discouragement and some temptations to just give up and walk away. And so Nehemiah, seeing all of this, he acts. Again, he goes to the Lord in prayer like he always does, calling and asking God to intervene while at the same time arming his people to protect themselves from any kind of potential attack. And in doing so, he reminds them, he said, this is God's project, not ours. The enormity of this project is not on our shoulders, it's on God's shoulders. God is the one that is providing the resources. God is the one that's going to make sure this project is done on time and how he wants it done. Don't have let that burden sit on your shoulders, because it's God's project. So often as we're doing the work of the Lord, we forget whose project it is we're really doing, and we try to do it in our own power and our own timing. And that's kind of the struggle that the people in Jerusalem were having, and that's what Nehemiah is having to remind them of as they get ready to start the work again. And so that's where we pick up in verse 15. That's the short version. And so if you need some more details, you can always go back and listen to the podcast later this week that's on the website. But I want to reread verse 15 for us, because we're going to camp out there for a little bit. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, this is what Nehemiah writes. He says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. So the enemies of Jerusalem, again, had been planning what they thought was a secret attack against Jerusalem. Their goal was to confuse the effort of the work there. They wanted to confuse the people enough that the construction would stop. They wanted to cast enough fear that they would not start this project up again. And again, they thought they were doing this in secret. But Nehemiah says that God frustrated their plans, that God in his sovereignty made those plans known to Nehemiah. And when their enemies discovered that the people of Jerusalem knew their plans, and when they found out the people in Jerusalem were no longer unarmed, it says they retreated. They canceled their plans. And so again, we see God answering Nehemiah's prayer. Again, we see God dealing with the opposition to the work going on in Jerusalem. Again, we see God's plans moving forward despite opposition. And again, we continue to see Nehemiah's complete reliance upon the Lord as he leads this project. And so here's what I want us to notice. I want us to notice the way God answers Nehemiah's prayer. Notice what he doesn't provide. He doesn't provide them with some kind of earthly comfort and security. He doesn't wipe their enemies off the face of the earth. Instead, God answers Nehemiah's prayer by providing a way for the people to endure. He provides a way for the people to persevere in the midst of adversity instead of removing the opposition. He provides a way for his plan to move forward instead of destroying those who were trying to attack Jerusalem. See, sadly, many Christians today have bought this lie that a victory in Christ, that winning in terms of following Jesus, means you have a life free of problems. Means you have a life that is full of earthly comfort, a life where conflict is absent. When the truth is that Scripture teaches the exact opposite for the follower of Christ. Jesus said, you will endure suffering for my name's sake. Jesus said, we will have conflict because of his name. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. He says, not only will you believe in Jesus, but you will suffer for his name's sake. Suffering's part of the deal. And so success for the believer, success for the follower of Christ is not a life of comfort, but it's the ability for us to endure and to persevere. The success is not that life gets easier, but rather that the work of the Lord, the work of the kingdom that he has called us to do continues to move on. See, failure is when the work stops. And so for Replicate Church, that's how we gauge our success. Are we enduring? Are we persevering in the kingdom work of disciple making that he has called us to do? Are we able to keep taking the gospel out even when the culture becomes less and less conducive for taking the gospel out? When it's not as pro-Jesus as it used to be, are we still persevering and doing the work that God has called us to do? See, as the culture becomes more difficult for the church to do what God has called them to do, many churches take up this strategy of not persevering and enduring, but to simply survive. See, and surviving is not what God has called us to do. Right? It's easy to survive, you know, to just stay inside the four walls of your church, right? Surviving is easy, but it's not what God has called us to do. Surviving is not enduring. Surviving is not the work of God moving forward. And so if that mindset ever creeps in, where we are okay with surviving instead of enduring, that means that we have given into fear and walked away from faith. See, and if we ever get to that point where we're okay with just surviving as God's people instead of enduring and persevering and moving the work forward, then we might as well just pack it up and go home. Because we're no longer doing what the church is called to do if we're not enduring and moving forward and persevering with the gospel message. If we're just surviving, we're dying, all right? There is no purpose for us to gather anymore if we're just surviving. And so victory for the Christian, for the church collectively, is that they're able to endure despite what's going on in the world. They're able to just trust that however he does it, the Lord is going to continue to move the mission forward as long as they continue to be obedient and trust in him. So I want us to look at verse 15 one more time. There's something else in there I want us to see before we continue in the text, and that's this. There's a phrase Nehemiah uses here, right? He's, as they continue with the work, he says, and it's easy to miss it. He just says simply, and they all return back to work. See, the church has been given, just similar to Nehemiah and the people of Israel, they've been given the task of building God's kingdom. And we talk about the church, we're talking about those who have been redeemed through relationship with Jesus. We're talking about the universal church. You know, we talked about that in our series in 1 Corinthians. And so for us as the church, as God's people under the New Testament, you know, our call is not to build a physical structure like it was for the people in Jerusalem. Like our kingdom work that we are called to, the way we build God's kingdom is through making disciples. It's through helping followers of Christ grow in maturity by also adding to God's kingdom numerically, which means we have to be sharing the gospel so that more and more people accept the gospel and come to faith in Christ and become restored to their Heavenly Father. And so for us to have maximum impact with that kingdom building and in our generation, we need all of God's people to be all in, right? Like, it doesn't say some people went back to work in Jerusalem. It says all of them returned to work. And it took all of the people in Jerusalem to make sure that this work was going forward. Remember, pre-exile, there was 2 or 3 million people living in Jerusalem. Now you only have about 50,000 working on a two-mile stretch of wall. They needed all the people to be all in for the work to continue. In the same way, we need all of God's people to be all in. We need to have the same sacrificial unity that they had in Jerusalem as they worked on this wall and the gates, where we put the needs of the kingdom before the needs of self, where we lay down frivolous differences and we're willing to give of our time and our talents and our resources, not for us, but instead to make disciples of Christ. See, the project in Jerusalem doesn't move forward if people aren't willing to live sacrificially, if they're not willing to live in unity, if they're not willing to say, I'm all in. And so before we continue in our text, this is just what I want us to think. I know some of you, you've already made that decision, but for the rest of you, if you're still on the fence, my question for you is, what will it take for you as a follower of Christ to be all in? What has to happen? What does God have to show you for you to say that this kingdom work is more important and worth more than what I'm doing with my life currently? Like, how does God have to show up in your life for you to say, yeah, Yeah, what you have planned is way better than what I'm doing. What you have planned has way more value than what I'm currently doing with my life. And that's a decision you have to come to on your own. I can't make you do that. Nobody in here can make you do that. If you're guilted into that, it won't last very long. That's a Holy Spirit transforming your heart kind of decision. But I would just ask yourself, nobody's going to call you out. If that's you, if you know you're riding the fence, if you got one foot in the church and one foot in the world, what is it going to take? What is God going to have to do in your heart for you to be all in? To say, from here on out, I'm going to give everything I have for this kingdom work, and I'm going to stop trying to play in both camps. It's just food for thought as you go throughout your week this week. So as we continue in our text, we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. And here, Nehemiah is kind of highlighting how the work continues in Jerusalem. You know, they're kicking off the second half of the project, and now they've kind of went through their halftime. Nehemiah's made some halftime adjustments to his defense, and it's a little bit different than the first half. So the first half, everybody worked. And everybody's still working, but now half the people have been divided up as laborers and soldiers. And so now they have less people working on the wall because they have some people now that are strictly just soldiers. But it didn't stop there. Nehemiah says that even those who were laboring were no longer just laborers. Nehemiah writes that for those that only required one hand to work, he put a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other so they can be mudding a wall and holding a sword in the other, prepared for battle and for work. And then he says, for those that required both hands to work, he put a sword by their side. So now everybody in Jerusalem is prepared to defend against an attack. And remember, they're not preparing to fight for their own safety. They're prepared to fight so that the kingdom work can endure. But there's still one problem. The work is so vast and the people are spread out even further apart now because they're half of them are soldiers and half of them are workers, that even armed, they were still vulnerable to a surprise attack by their enemies. So Nehemiah finds this place in the city so he can keep watch. And he keeps his trumpet player by his side. And he tells the people, if you hear this trumpet blow, you run to where I'm at so that we can battle as one unit instead of being spread apart. And in that same breath, he also reminds them, he said, remember who it is that's fighting for you. It's God that is fighting for you. So if a battle ensues, remember that we're not fighting alone. And so what I want us to know is that promise is still true for God's people today, that those who have submitted their lives to Christ, who have committed themselves to the kingdom work, who are all in pursuing the will of God, that God is with you. That he is for you, that he is faithful to fight those battles for you, and we need only to obey his commands and trust in him. That doesn't mean that when we do something stupid, he's going to fight those battles, all right? That doesn't mean we go completely against the will of God that he's going to fight those battles for you. Sometimes, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough, right? All right, now, but if we're walking with him faithfully and we're doing what he's called us to do, we can have that reassurance that he's going to be with us in that and he's going to provide what we need to accomplish the task that he's given us. What a reassurance that is to know that we don't have to carry the full weight and responsibility of making sure God's plans move forward. I mean, to me, that is such a relief that the weight of that does not rest on my shoulders. That all I am called to do is the work that he's laid out for me to do in Scripture. And that all I have to do outside of that is just trust that whatever I'm not doing, he's taking care of. How freeing is it to know that we don't have to have all the answers, that we don't have to know the how, that we simply have to have faith in the who. God will fight for his people. And so as we look at the adjustments Nehemiah makes to the kingdom work that's being done, now arming all of his people for battle, we need to understand that as followers of Christ, we're called to do a similar thing. Just like the people in Jerusalem were both laborers and soldiers, you and I, as followers of Christ, are called to be both laborers and soldiers, having a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. But see, unlike the Israelites, they were simply prepared for battle. Not only are you and I called to be prepared, But we're in call to engage in that battle daily. See, for the follower of Christ, we are laborers building the kingdom of God. And we labor not by building buildings, or not by just simply showing up to church, but we labor by sharing the gospel. We labor by making disciples. We labor by loving one another. We labor by becoming a servant to Christ and to one another. That's how we are to labor in the Lord. But as we labor, we're also called to do battle. And the multitaskers, you have no problem with that. It's those of us that have trouble doing more than one thing at a time, we're like, I don't know if I can do both. All right, y'all must be all multitaskers. I'm the only one that can handle one thing at a time. The ADDers are a little struggling, though, all right? See, this is not an and-or issue. It's we got to be able to do both, and God has equipped us to do both. See, as we're laboring, we have to make sure we're putting on that full armor that we talked about last week, right? We have to make sure that we're engaging in the Word of God. We have to make sure that, you know, things like fasting and praying are not just something we do when the pastor tells us to. It's an active part of our walk with the Lord. It means that we are in constant pursuit of holy living, a life pleasing to God, because to be successful in battle, we can't neglect these things, because these are the things that give that armor its power to protect us from the spiritual attacks. The followers of Christ, we're to be both laborers and soldiers. It's not optional to be one or the other. See, here's the mess that Christians get themselves in a lot of times. They just choose one, or they focus too much on one instead of the other. You know, some really like to get off into the spiritual warfare, like battle and mindset. That's where they like to focus all of their time. And then the ones that do that, those are the ones that see demons on every corner. Those are the ones that, you know, just get really down in those rabbit trails of spiritual warfare, right? It can't just be real. Like, we live in a fallen and broken world. Not every time you get a flat tire is not the devil out to get you, right? Every time you have a bad hair day, you have a bad experience at a restaurant, it's not the devil trying to get you. We just live in a fallen, broken world that is going to continue to fall until Jesus returns. All right? But if we spend too much time focusing on that spiritual warfare side of things, that's where our mind goes. Now, the devil is powerful. Yes, should he be respected? Yes. But he's not responsible for every bad thing that happens in your life. Sometimes it's just a fallen world. And again, sometimes it's just us doing stupid things. But then some, especially, you know, sadly to say, in the Baptist world, they'll spend all their time laboring and serving the Lord, totally neglecting the spiritual battle that's at hand. And so when you spend all your time serving and laboring and you neglect the spiritual battle, you open yourself up and make yourself vulnerable to an attack, giving our enemy the opportunity to divide, to confuse, to destroy, to hinder the kingdom work. Because that's what his goal is to hinder the kingdom work. James writes in James chapter 4, verse 7, he says, if we simply submit to God and we resist the devil, that he will flee from us. And so here's what James is saying. He said, when we submit to God, it means we are submitting to the work he has called us to. We are submitting and becoming laborers for his kingdom. And we resist the devil by putting on that full armor and using the weapons that God has given us to resist his attacks. That's all we do. And so essentially what James is calling us to do, it's the same thing that we see in Nehemiah. He's calling us to be both a laborer and a soldier. He's saying, if you submit to the will of God and you put on that full armor and use the tools God gave you, that you'll be able to resist the enemy. When you resist, he's going to flee. He doesn't say engage. He doesn't say go looking for it. He doesn't say have a conversation with him. He says, submit to God, use what I've given you, and you'll be able to resist him, and he will flee. You know, the devil is described in Scripture as a lion prowling around looking for an opportunity to take something down, to take someone down. And like a lion, he's not looking to take down a big, healthy animal. He's looking to take down the weak, the vulnerable, the easy target. And so if we are prepared, if we are submitting to God, if we are putting on that full armor, then what the devil's going to do when he comes after us, he's going to see that we're prepared. He's going to do just like the enemies of Nehemiah did. He's going to retreat and go the other way. When the enemy encounters people who are not just laboring but also battling, he flees. He still might take a shot every now and again, But ultimately, he knows it's a waste of time to go after the people of God who are both laboring and soldiering, because he knows he doesn't stand a chance. So here's my encouragement to you, is to find that place where you're right in the middle, where you're both that laborer and that soldier. You're not too far this way, too far that way. You're right in the middle. You're submitted to the Lord, and you're putting that full armor on every day, protecting yourself so you continue to labor in the Lord. Amen? All right. Let's continue looking at the last couple verses of our text, verses 21 through 23. We see that Nehemiah and the people, they continue to work, and they stay ready for battle at all times, keeping that trowel in one hand and the sword in the other. But they had this posture as well, this spirit of readiness about them to continue to both labor for the Lord and do battle in his name. A readiness to protect the work. And as a follower of Christ, we should have a similar readiness about us. A readiness to share the gospel, a readiness to say yes to whatever God may call us to do in building his kingdom. A readiness to do battle on a daily basis. But see, to have that level of readiness means we have to be prepared, and that preparedness only comes through an intimacy with Christ. Our readiness as believers to labor and battle is rooted in our connection with Christ alone. Because in order to be prepared, in order to have that spirit of readiness, we got to be able to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. We got to be able to recognize the promptings of the Holy Spirit. We got to be able to recognize the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't have that intimate connection with Christ, which means we are communing with him daily, it's very easy for us to miss his voice, to miss his prompting, to miss the opportunities he puts before us to share the gospel, to make disciples. See, for the disciple and for the church, for them to stand in readiness, to be in tune with Christ and his Holy Spirit, those churches and individuals that are doing that are in tune with Christ in that way, that stand in that posture of readiness, those are the ones that are headed in the right direction. Those are the ones that are enduring and persevering in the kingdom work. But the disciple in the church that does not stand in that readiness, that is not communing with their heavenly Father on a daily basis, they're often headed in the wrong direction. And instead of enduring and persevering, those are the ones that are falling down and walking away. And we don't want you to be a believer, and we don't want to be a church that falls down and walks away because we were not prepared to be laborers and soldiers for the Lord. So let us stand in a posture of readiness at all times, constantly pursuing that intimacy with our heavenly Father. Now here's how I want to kind of wrap things up this morning. As we look at chapter 4 in its entirety and the work that's going on there in Jerusalem, here's what stands out to me. As this people of God can pursue the kingdom work, here's what Nehemiah was consistently having to do. He was consistently having to remind the people of who God was. He was consistently having to remind the people of the promises of God. He was having to remind them that the God they served is great and awesome and that he will fight for them. Nehemiah is consistently having to bring encouragement to the people as they pursue the kingdom work to make sure that the kingdom work continues. And so I think about us. I think about how hard life is, right? You know, we talked about this last week, how easy it is for us to become discouraged when we're serving the Lord. How real burnout is. How easy it is to become just overwhelmed with life. How easy it is to forget all that God has done for us and all that he promises to still do. And how at times we can face opposition to this work every single day. And so I think about how hard life is for a follower of Christ, the suffering that Jesus says we're going to endure. And I think about that need for encouragement. And I just think in my own life, I'm like, you know, I need that encouragement. I need the same thing that those people in Jerusalem needed. I need to be encouraged by the truths of God's word. I need affirmation of who I am in Christ. I need to be reminded of that almost daily. I need to be reminded that it's God I serve and not everybody else. I need to be reminded and encouraged that God is bigger than any issue I'm going to face in this life. I need to be reminded and encouraged that God is able to do way more with my life than I ever could. But see, not only do I need to be encouraged by those truths, which, and I need that affirmation that comes from spending time in God's word, I need that encouragement to come from other believers. We all do, because God never intended for us to do this thing, this life, in isolation. And so what I want to do real quick, I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Some of you, you know this verse. Some of you might hear it for the first time. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. See how fast everybody is. And I'm going to read it to you. If you don't have scripture, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, that's okay. I'm going to read it to you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, here's what the author of Hebrews writes. He says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's something about the human just posture, human nature, something about our depravity that if left by ourselves, even as a follower of Christ, we tend to be drawn into this isolation. We tend to revert back to being inwardly focused. And so, which is why I think the author of Hebrews writes here that we need to be stirred up. We need other people to be stirring us up and encouraging us to do the kingdom work on a consistent basis. We need to hear people say, "Hey man, I know it's hard right now, but stay the course." We need to understand and know that there are people walking alongside us. We need to hear from time to time, "Hey man, you're rocking this thing. Keep up the good work." We need to know and understand that we're not doing this thing alone. We need to hear from those that have walked the road ahead of us that are looking back and say, "You got this." And so here's what I think the writer in Hebrews is. This is the point I think that he's making. It's number one, we need to make sure we're gathering in this kind of biblical community in a consistent level. And as we gather, we need to be considering not just what it's going to take for us to do the kingdom work, but how we can stir up one another, how we can spur one another on to continue in the work of building the kingdom. Especially in the days ahead as they become more and more difficult to share the gospel. Notice the author says, don't meet less as the days get further along, as we get closer to Christ's return. He says, gather more. But see, in our culture, especially in the American church, we've gotten this idea where, you know, it's okay if I just, you know, if I go to church once a month, twice a month, if I engage once or twice a year, I'm good. And you're just believing the lie of the enemy at that point. Because the enemy loves nothing more than to isolate you from what God is doing over here. All right, because he knows if you're by yourself, you are easy pickings. He knows if you're just kind of engaged in church, man, he's got you. God did not intend for us to do this thing alone. We need that encouragement if we want to endure, if we want to persevere. Remember, our win, our victory as followers of Christ is not that God will wipe out our enemies, but he'll give us the ability to endure and persevere in the kingdom work. And if we want to persevere, if we want to endure, we need to be around others. We need that source of encouragement that comes from fellow believers. You know, it happened at Man Church yesterday. That encouragement comes when we gather weekly. That encouragement comes when youth gathers on Wednesdays, when we meet weekly in our small groups. It's what Nehemiah is consistently having to do over and over again with his people, to stir them up, to encourage them to stay the course. And so as we wrap things up, we move into a time of response. I have a two-part challenge for us as a church. And so if you're not a believer this morning, if you're not a member of this church, just listen. Maybe God will stir something in you, but just know that this call is for those that call this church their home. And here's the first part. Because we have such a high need to be reminded daily of who God is, reminded of our calling in him, why it is we do what we do, and because we need to be reminded daily of who it is we belong to, the first part of this challenge is I want us to engage in the word of God, to commit to just engaging for a minimum of 5 minutes a day for the next 7 days. Now, I know some of you are already doing that. That's great. You'd be an encouragement to the rest of us. But just engage God's word for the next 7 days for just 5 minutes And see if you don't find yourself a little more encouraged to stay the course, to endure, to persevere, to put the kingdom of God before the kingdom of you. Second part of the challenge. And the second part stems from this, because I know there are many in this room that are still attempting to kind of lone ranger things, to do life by yourself, because I've seen the small group sign-up lists. And I know that a lot of you are still trying to do life by yourself. And you're just setting yourself up for failure. And so if we want to be successful as a laborer and a soldier in the kingdom of God, we got to make sure that we are consistently being encouraged through a community of like-minded people. Because if we're not, then the temptation to walk away, the temptation to give in to discouragement, the temptation to become overwhelmed increases drastically. And so the second part of this challenge is that you would, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks. I say over the next 2 weeks, because I know schedules are hard. I just want you to attend at least one small group. And if you come to me and say, well, there's not one that works for me, there's not a night of week or whatever, I say, come to me, email me, text me, come see me personally, call me, we will work something out. That's how important it is to be in that community with other people. Maybe you don't have a group close to your house yet. Come see me. Maybe God's calling you to host that group. But I just challenge you over the next 2 weeks to find yourself some biblical community, some community with like-minded believers that can be that encouragement, that can do life with you, that can spur you on, that can stir you up the other 6 days of the week. And I even encourage you to do this, to try more than one, because it is very possible you walk into a group and you're like, I just don't gel with these people. And that's cool. We're not called to like everybody. We're just called to love everybody, all right? And certain personalities don't mesh, and I understand that perfectly. So if you go to one and you're like, those people are nuts, go to a different one the next week. But just try it. And if you're in the room, you're already engaged in that community, keep encouraging, keep inviting, keep reaching out, because you never know when that day is going to come when that person actually says, yes, I'm going to come. I want to get plugged in. I need that encouragement. So as we contemplate the Word of God this morning, as we contemplate what He's laid on our hearts, I know this is a message geared more towards believers this morning, but I just want you to kind of examine where you are with that laborer and soldier mindset. Are you leaning one side instead of one side or the other? Are you right in the middle? You got some weaknesses you need to mend? Are you engaged in that encouraging biblical community? Are you engaging the Word of God on a regular basis so you don't lose sight of who He is and what He's called you to do? And even if you are here this morning, you're not a follower of Christ, know that we love you and we care for you. We're glad you're here, and that our mission is not to leave here and make you feel bad about yourself. Our mission when we leave here is that you would have the same hope and joy and peace that we have, all right? Because how hateful is it of us to know that the security we have in heaven and not share it with the people that don't have it? What does that say about us if we got this wonderful thing in Jesus and we're not willing to share it with the rest of the world? So just know, if you're not a believer and you're in here, like, our heart is that we love you and we want you to have what we have. And I invite you to receive that this morning. If that's you, if you're like, man, I don't know this Jesus, but I think I might want to, man, come and see me this morning. We can take you from want to know Him in like 5 minutes. All right? So we're going to pray, we're going to worship, and you respond. If you come and need to kneel and pray, if you just want to worship where you're at, if you need to come talk to somebody, man, come see me. If we got too many, I can pull some others in. It's not a problem. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship you. We thank you that you invite us in to your kingdom work. God, you don't need a single one of us, but you invite us in. You allow us to be a part of what you're doing. God, I pray that we would understand the gravity of that the God of the universe has asked us, a bunch of sinners saved by grace, to be a part of what you're doing. God, and I pray that we don't waste that invitation. We don't waste the opportunity you've given us. God, and I pray that we don't get to the end of our lives and say, man, I wish I would have told that person about the good news of Jesus. God, I pray that there would not be one person in this room that continues to attempt to walk this life for you by themselves. God, that they would no longer believe the lie of the enemy that says you can do it by yourself, that you don't need those other people. God, and they would humble themselves and engage with the community of believers that you put around them. That they would understand what it's like to be stirred up and encouraged for the kingdom of God. They would understand how much they need that. And God, I pray that you would equip us to be both laborer and soldier. God, and we pray for those in this room that don't yet know you as Savior, that are living in sin, that are in bondage to sin and don't even realize it. God, I just pray that you would make yourself known to them this morning. They would understand the freedom that they can have in you. They would understand just how unconditionally, how strong your love is for them, Lord. God, and you desire nothing more than to have a relationship with them. And God, so we ask your Holy Spirit to keep moving in this place, God, to stir in our hearts, and that we would just respond accordingly to your will. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hearts will cry, these
Respond to how the Lord led you to respond this morning. Just know that that invitation, that response time is never over. I hope you're encouraged. I hope that you know that we love you, we care for you, and it's our hope and our mission to make sure we are equipping you to do the work that God has called you to do, not just to sit and do nothing. Like, if that's why you walked in here this morning, I'm just going to say this is probably not the place for you. All right? I say it as lovingly as I can, because Jesus did not die for us to sit and do nothing, all right? Matthew 28 clearly says we are to go and make disciples, not sit and wait for them to come to us, right? So I'm just saying, like, as lovingly as I can, if that's your mindset, this may not be what God's calling you to be. And so I know that may be weird for some of you to hear if you've been around church a while, but that's just what God has called us to do, and that's how we feel like we can be most obedient to the scripture that God has called the church to live by. You know, scripture is our sole authority here. And so he says to go and make disciples. That's what we're going to do. And he says the pastor's role is not to do it all himself. It says to equip the saints to go and do the work of kingdom building. And if you're a follower of Christ, hey, guess what? You are a saint. And so my job is to equip you to go out there and share the gospel. It doesn't rest all on the pastor and staff's shoulders to go and do that. All right. So, sorry, that's a sermon for another day. But hopefully, you have found your home here. We would love to help you on your journey with Christ. And if you want to talk to me, I'm going to be at the Next Steps table. I'm going to turn it over to Gordon. Gordon's going to bring us some announcements this morning. He's going to close us out this morning as well. So it's all yours, Gordon.
Thank you. I had no idea when he asked me to do the announcements this morning that sermon was going to be a perfect setup for everything that's in this bulletin, which is really cool. So what an honor. So I love the new format as well. So the first thing is the Foundry. It's the meeting for teenagers on Wednesday night. Our daughter is a part of that, and it's been a great source of encouragement and friendship for her. Of course, small groups that he mentioned as well. There's 4 days a week right now that there's small groups meeting, and there's the times that they are. So please contact Sean. Is Sean here today? Could you stand up for a second so everybody knows who Sean is? See that guy if you want to join one of them. Next is, if you're interested in joining Replicate Church, the next membership class is on February the 12th at the church office. I'm sure you can see the pastor back at the Next Steps table about that. Also, there is a Soul Sisters kickoff, which is a bring a charcuterie board night. I had to be coached on how to pronounce that. It's on February the 25th at 5:30 at Melissa Sablon's house. If you're interested, RSVP with Michelle Kinney, and her phone number is there. There is a young adults group that we are about to launch, and we're having a membership, kind of an interest meeting on February the 26th, and that's after church at 12:15. Lunch will be provided, so I'm not sure who's going to be leading that, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome, and it's a great transition for kids leaving the youth group. There will also be a baby dedication on that day. I love the baby dedications. Sign up with the Connect card or directly with Pastor Jared at the Next Steps table if you have a child in that age group. March the 4th, we're going to have a community cleanup day. My wife Dina and I are leading that. The county is getting involved. They're going to bring, the colorful orange vests and a bunch of grabbers and buckets and trash bags, and they're communicating with the Adams Sanitation to help us haul things off, so we're not going to be just kind of on our own. So if you're interested in that, see me. Our phone numbers are down below. There is a men's retreat coming up. I've heard good things about it. I have not participated in our church's men's retreat yet. It's at Camp Baldwin, 17th through 19th. $50 deposit is due by March the 5th. So there you go. My wife and I also lead the outreach group that I just mentioned. This is a long set of announcements. My wife and I also lead the outreach group that I mentioned, where we do projects in the community. And just this trash cleanup is going to be our first first big one. So if you're interested in doing projects, if you have some ideas for some projects, our phone numbers are there. Also, regarding the Foundry, we have members of the church provide meals on Wednesday nights for the kids. And if you're interested in doing that, contact Diane Youngblood at that phone number. And also, if you're compelled to give, that's one of the ways we worship here. Instructions for doing so, you can text. And we also have a box over there at the giving station. So last thing is help us out by taking the chairs. We used to put them against the wall. Now we're putting them all in that room. I'm not sure how that's going to look, but we're going to stuff them all in that little room right there. So I appreciate it. So I'll just close this out in some prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this this time we have together today. We thank you for the fellowship we get to share before and after, and your wisdom brought to us by Jared. Just let us carry it in our heart as we go out and do the things we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.